Bob Sirott in charge of the radio station here until 7 o'clock. Ro Khan and Anna DeVlant is back on Monday. Richard Roper is here to talk movies with us. And before we get to the new Breaking Bad film and also the Eddie Murphy movie, and what else was I going to ask you about? Oh, the Judy Garland
Interested in Judy, which, you know, it's Renee Zellweger, and she's getting a lot of Oscar buzz.
Is that worth seeing?
You know, I was right on the fence on this one, Bob. It's always like the hardest review. I remember you used to talk to both the late Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert about that. The 4-star reviews and the 1-star reviews, you know what you want to say, and you cut and you can zip those reviews out. It's the 2.5-star reviews that, it's great to have a platform like this, you know, when I talk with Rowan Anna and today with you about this, where you can get, you know, dive a little deeper into it or write 1,000 words about it, because some parts of it I really admired. It's set in the winter of 68-69, Judy Garland, I think, was 46 years old. She was 6 months away from passing away. She had, you know, had this long, as you know, long life of addiction and alcohol abuse. And it's set in London, which is based on the true story where she got a gig, like a kind of what we call now, you know, they do the residence in Vegas, you know, where you're playing the same place night after night. And she really needed the money because she had not really been getting any work in the States. So all of that, the period piece stuff, is accurate, and Renee Zellweger is really good. But Bob, I felt like the whole time she was doing a Judy Garland impersonation rather than a characterization, if that makes sense. Like she got the nuances down. The physicality of Judy Garland,
but didn't become Judy Garland.
No, and the other thing is she sings, which is a terrific thing to do, but. Maybe we can, if we can find that, can we pull up, do we have any clips from Judy? Maybe we can, if we had a time in the next minute or so. And she's really good, but Judy Garland had that amazing voice. She was 15, 16 years old when she was doing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, I recently saw The Wizard of Oz in a theater, and I had forgotten how iconic it was. But she looked a little old to me to play that particular role.
Well, she was, because Dorothy, I think, is supposed to be 12 or 13. And Judy was 15 or 16, and they actually sped up filming, and, you know, they talked about how they taped her breasts down and tried to make her look as young as possible, because she was. And especially when she was singing, she had this, you know, this gorgeous resonant voice. So when Renee Zellweger is performing, and they have complete set pieces with a band and, you know, dancers and, you know, the audience in these scenes set in this London theater. And she sounds like someone who's doing a really good Judy Garland impersonation. But you never forget. To me, I never forgot that it was Renee Zellweger. She kind of over-enunciates. You know, and there's so many biopics out there over the last, forever. But if I look at something like when Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles, it felt like he really became Ray Charles.
Yeah, he channeled Ray Charles.
Yeah. And I didn't. So that's why I gave it 2.5 stars.
All right, on to the Breaking Bad movie. That the word is that this is a continuation of the Breaking Bad series, and Aaron Paul says it answers the question everybody has asked him since the series ended: what happened to Jesse?
Yeah. We'll do the full review after the 6 o'clock. News break, but okay. I will say this, just in setting it up, and we were talking a little bit before, but were you a Downton Abbey guy, Bob?
No.
Marianne, your wife, was she?
No.
I can't believe that, because you would have loved that.
I'm a bit of an Anglophile, but for some reason I didn't get into it.
Well, and it's a beautifully done show. You know, we were talking about how great Breaking Bad looked, and Downton Abbey is set in the 1910s and then the 1920s in this huge estate, you know, outside of London. And people ask me when the movie came out, what if I've never seen the show? Can I watch the movie and still enjoy it? And my answer to that was yes, because, look, if you saw the series, you're so excited to see, you know, your favorite characters. They almost all of them come back. And certain references and certain withering glances and, you know, little asides, you're only going to get that if you'd seen the series. But even if you never saw the show, you know, Downton Abbey, all you need to know is it's set in this, you know, amazing estate that, you know, has probably 350 rooms, and it features the upstairs and the downstairs, just like the show, upstairs, downstairs. So the high society and all their drama, and then down below in the kitchen and the servants' quarters, all that. So you get that right away. It's pretty easy to figure out who's the butler and who's Lady Crawley, you know. The ones who dress up in the white tux and the tie and tails for dinner, those are the rich people.
Yeah.
The ones bringing them their soup. Those are the servants.
Let me guess. Uh-huh.
So, you know, you really could enjoy it. I actually saw it with some people that were huge fans and then people that were seen one or two episodes. I will say this about El Camino, the Breaking Bad sequel, if you will. If you didn't see the show, if you haven't seen the show, it's going to be like watching something in Portuguese. You're just not going to get it. It's all about having seen not just the series once in a while, but having seen the entire show. You'll get certain things. I mean, any movie, you know, any sequel, you could watch any Star Wars and get some of the stuff that's going on within the self-contained story. But what this is definitely made for the Breaking Bad fans. And one of the cool things they do, it's on Netflix, by the way. It's not playing in the theaters. It just dropped on Netflix. Debuted at 2:00 in the morning, so that's why one of my eyes is completely closed right now, because I watched it in real time and then wrote my review for this.
It's part of your job.
It's part of the job. Yeah. Part of the gig. Nobody wants to hear the guy complaining about that. So you can watch this if you have Netflix. It's available now. And one of the cool things is you have an option at the beginning. You can watch a 5-minute recap of the series or go straight into it. But even if you've seen every episode, you got to watch the recap because it gets you right there and it takes you right up to the ending of Breaking Bad. The sequel picks up that exact moment. It's not 10 years later. He's not on an island like in Castaway or something.
Will you have clips when we come back?
I think we're going to clip.
Okay.
We have a clip.
Stand by for more on the Breaking Bad movie. Also, I want to ask you about this Eddie Murphy movie.
My name is Dolomite.
Well,
we will not be playing a clip for that because this is family radio, and I couldn't find 12 seconds to string together.
And there's some documentaries that seem to have disappeared too quickly, and they sounded great. More on that with Rich Roper coming up after the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Oh. We're not taking a break right now? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess our stations across the country have decided to stay with us for another minute.
I was told we had right up to 559, 50-something or that, like that.
So, I had something else in my script here.
See, this is the thing about the Rokan show with Anna DeVlantes. When people come to the studio a lot of times, and we do a lot of remotes, you know, we were at United Center yesterday, but especially when you come to the studio, people see what Rokan does. Because he runs his own board. Not everybody in radio does that anymore. I mean, we got great producers and technical producers. But Bro, you know, is the traffic cop for all of this, so to speak. And it's unbelievable what he has to do. As you're looking at me right now saying, you know, I remember when I used to just have to say that was the strawberry alarm clock. And coming up next, the Lemon Pipers.
I would react to what you're saying. I'm too busy pressing buttons over here.
It's no small task to keep the plane up in the air. And thank you for that deep dive there. Are we okay? A little turbulence there, ladies and gentlemen.
Since we have a moment here, why do these documentaries? I was really interested in this Mike Wallace documentary that was out.
Yeah,
there's a Roy Cohn documentary that's out.
Roy Cohn?
Why did they disappear so quickly?
You know, with rare exceptions, you'll get the breakout documentaries, you know, going back to the movie. Movies like Hoop Dreams or, some of the Michael Moore films that people go to theaters to see. Documentaries are really home viewing. I mean, it's not to say you shouldn't see them in theaters, but they usually get very limited theatrical releases. The great thing about these documentaries you mentioned is they're available on one platform or another. You know, sometimes, you have to have a pay service like Amazon Prime or HBO Go or, of course, Netflix, but
How soon after the theater showing?
Usually right when it comes out. So the movies you mentioned are available right now for home video viewing.
All right.
Both really good. The Roy Cohn and the Mike Wallace doc.
Got my weekend planned.
There you go.
More movie stuff from Rich Roper coming up right after the news. Kim tells us what's happening next. El Camino is the new Breaking Bad movie that picks up after Jesse escaped from that bloody massacre that left Walter dead. Rich Roper is here. He's seen it and tells us about it now.
You know, Bob, I was just hearing that one of the great, a 12-second theme song, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking the great moments in vinyl. They could do that maybe at some point. Just to they're going to be doing Stevie Wonder, which is amazing. You know, wait till you hear these guys and gals are amazing, Bob. But I could see them easily pulling that off. Like, you know, just hey, thanks, ladies and gentlemen. We were going to do the entire Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon. We're just going to do the Breaking Bad theme.
It's so recognizable. It's kind of the sound on Seinfeld. Just the
little
sound.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah. So this is Netflix, right?
Netflix original movie, El Camino. It's the sequel of sorts to Breaking Bad. And as we were mentioning a little bit earlier, if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, I don't see you getting a ton out of this. This is the Jesse Pinkman story. Spoiler alert, since the series ended in 2013, the great Bryan Cranston as Walter White. The series finale was this, you know, bloody shootout in which he took down all these white supremacist terrorists, basically, but also met his final end. His, you know, Walter White, who was dying of cancer on the show, And some people, you know, to this day theorize, he might not have been dead after he was shot 157 times. He's dead, okay? And he's gone. And as you recall, Jesse Pinkman, who was Walter White's high school student and then his partner in cooking meth and then got involved in even darker crimes than that. And they had this very conflicted, you know, father-son relationship, sometimes hated each other, often saved each other's lives. It ended with him busting out of the joint where the shootout had occurred. He was the only one who survived. He was in a state of hysteria. He had been tortured and imprisoned for months on end. But had survived, and he was in the stolen El Camino, and he was heading off. The movie El Camino picks up at that exact moment. It's not 6 months later. It's not 10 months later. It's right then. You're right in the car with him, and it tells us now about his desperate struggle to survive, because obviously police are looking for him as a person of interest. There are other associates of those bad guys who probably want him dead. He's trying to find some money that's been hidden so he can get out of town. And all of this is going on in the Albuquerque of, you know, basically present day, right after the events of the Breaking Bad finale. But we also get flashbacks, and that's how you can bring back certain characters who were killed off, as they did, of course, with Better Call Saul, which is the prequel series with the great Chicago area, Bob Odenkirk, the great Bob Odenkirk as Saul. So one of the main characters on Better Call Saul is Jonathan Banks plays Mike Ehrmantraut. He was the former cop who became kind of the fixer for Saul and then got involved with Walter White. So we got a clip here. This is Jesse Pinkman and Mike. This is a kind of a moment maybe 2 or 3 years in the past, and they're talking a little bit about Walter White, but this is just Jesse and Mike.
Here it is.
No, he's not going to be happy.
No, I suspect he won't. Only you can decide what's best for you, Jesse. Not him, not me.
I'm out. So what are you going to do with all that money?
Same thing I do with all the other money. How about you, teenage retiree? You'll be living the dream.
Not sure I should stick around town.
That's a start.
Nothing really keeping me here. Where'd you go? You or me?
Doesn't matter. I'm not you.
Seriously, come on. Like, if you were my age, play along. Make some conversation.
Alaska.
Yeah?
Yeah, if I were your age, starting fresh, Alaska is the last frontier.
Is there any difference these days in a movie made for Netflix that ultimately goes to one of those services as opposed to a big screen theater?
I don't think so. It's a great question. I think some movies, when they know they're making them for Netflix and there's a certain budgetary thing, I think they do take that into consideration. Like, I know I've talked to some directors who say if they know it's never going to play on the big screen, there might be a certain shot that they'll do a different way, maybe more close-ups and medium shots, maybe less type of scenes where you're going to lose something on the small screen. But by and large, these are movies, and a lot of these Netflix movies, this one is going straight to Netflix. So for people who are wondering, it's available right now. If you're a Netflix subscriber, it'll be right there in the What's New or What's Trending, and it's called El Camino. 3.5 stars is my ranking for that out of 4, Bob.
Pretty good.
But some of the other ones, you know, like when The Irishman, of course, the Scorsese film, it's a Netflix original, but it's going to play. It opens November 1st here in Chicago. Then it'll be on Netflix about 3 weeks later. That was shot like a Martin Scorsese film. He didn't compromise in any way, shape, or form. He shot it just like, because it is going to be a theatrical release.
And before you go, what is the deal on this Eddie Murphy movie?
Dolomite Is My Name. I love this movie, Bob. So Rudy Ray Moore was this in the 60s and 70s. He had tried to be a singer, tried to be a comic. He had tried to be a record producer. And he's 45-ish and had never really caught on. He was working as a record store manager. And he came up with this character of Dolomite, who was based on decades of black folklore, storytelling in rhyme, and very raunchy stuff. And he was kind of dressed like a pimp, and he took Dolomite on the road, and he became so popular, he made a movie. In fact, he made, I think, 7 Dolomite movies. They used to call them blaxploitation films of the 70s. And this is the story of him trying to make that first movie, even though he had never made a movie, his friends had never made a movie, he had no idea what he was doing. They put it all together for like $60,000. But it's just a great Rocky underdog story. You know, it's about a guy overcoming all the odds, and it's really funny, which you'd expect from an Eddie Murphy movie, but there's also some pretty serious dramatic moments as well. And it is a full performance by Eddie Murphy. It's the comeback that we've been waiting for.
Did I read something about some issue with the distribution of this film?
That's a Netflix issue, and I don't know all the particulars, but you know, the theater owners are not, by and large, thrilled with Netflix because it's kind of taken over the world. And these movies, a lot of them are not getting a theatrical platform, or they're just getting these limited 2 or 3 week runs. The theater owners make more money as the weeks go by. The first couple of weeks, almost all the money goes back to the studios. As the weeks go on, they get a bigger percentage of the box office. So they love the movies that have legs, you know, like A Star Is Born last year played for 3 or 4 months in theaters because, you know, kept getting great word of mouth. So when these movies are only going to play for a few weeks before getting theatrical releases, a lot of the theater owners are saying, well, then you're not going to play it. So the downtown theaters, unfortunately, you can't find Dolomite Is My Name in the downtown area.
Rich Roper, good to be with you,
Bob
as
Surratt.
Always. Yes, I am the voice Indeed. Of the famous coal mine at the Museum of Science and
That's
Industry,
true.
And I did not even ask them to rename it the Bob Surratt Museum,
That's nice
just,
of you.
Just for the record. You are more familiar than I am with this group that's coming in, these musicians who are going to play live, and we'll talk to mm-hmm. them about
They're
this.
Great.
It's Great Moments in Vinyl coming up in just a moment here. And I understand that they are not to be believed, the material they do.
Our good friend William Lindsay Cochran, he's the bass player. He also tells the stories about these various songs. You know him as Bill Cochran, a very well-known, successful radio host here
yep.
in Chicago, but a very talented musician. He puts together these various iterations of kind of a rotating band of amazing musicians and singers, and they do these beautiful tributes to various, usually the full album, and William tells stories in between. And they're going to do this time, it's going to be at Martyrs, and you'll be able to talk to them all about this, but they're going to be playing from one of my favorite albums of all time, Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life. We're going to hear some cuts from that amazing album.
It's a classic. Okay.
Great Moments in Vinyl.
Coming up next, right here on the Roll Con program, right now, coming up on 617, let's find out where the brake lights are shining red. Here's Lauren's traffic update.